Okay, I just want to warn you really fast. There are a couple of curses in this episode, but not that many. So hopefully it'll be okay. Also, we do have some very mild spoilers. This movie is so much more about the journey than the destination. It really doesn't matter, but I'm just telling you about it so you don't email me later. Just kidding. I love emails from you guys. You're much better than the recaps emailers, let me tell you. From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I'm Greta Johnson, and Nerdette is a place where we talk to your favorite or soon-to-be favorite people. And this week's guests are the stars of what is going to be the best movie of the summer. I said it.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Let's go to Nick's party.
Are you kidding? No, no way.
Maybe we only have one night left to have studied and partied in high school. Otherwise, we're just going to be the girls that missed out. We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules.
Okay. We've broken a lot of rules. One, we have fake IDs.
Fake college IDs so we can get into their 24-hour library.
Name one person whose life was so much better because they broke a couple of rules.
Picasso.
Yes, he broke art rules. Name a person who broke a real rule.
Rosa Parks.
Name another
one. Susan B. Anthony.
God damn it.
This week's guests are Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein, and they star in the movie Booksmart, which is by far the best movie I've seen all year. I think you know, if you've been listening to Nerdette for a while, I like notoriously have seen very few movies. I've seen like maybe seven this year. Avengers was one of them. But I am here to tell you that Booksmart is truly excellent. It's super special for a lot of different reasons. For one thing, it is Olivia Wilde's directorial debut, which is pretty cool. And it stars these awesome young ladies who you've probably seen in other films, but not known exactly who they were. And I am super excited that they get to make their debut in this movie. Caitlin Dever has acted in Justified. She also played a brat in a Sweet 16 episode of Party Down.
Mom, talking to Kyle here. Keep going.
Is that a beer?
You're not my manager anymore. So if you speak to me again, I'm going to hitchhike home with a maniac.
Come on, Kyle.
Copy that.
Caitlin was also in Last Man Standing. And Beanie was in Neighbors 2. And she's been in a Maroon 5 Cardi B music video. Her brother is the actor Jonah Hill, who you may have heard of. We'll talk about that a little bit later. She also played the best friend of Lady Bird in the award-winning film Lady Bird.
Miss Patty assigned you a role, by the way. You just never showed up to claim it.
What role?
The Tempest.
There is no role of the Tempest.
It is the titular role.
No, it's a made-up thing, so we all can participate.
You can't do anything unless you're the center of attention, can you?
Yeah, well, you know your mom's tits. They're fake. Totally fake.
She made one bad decision at 19.
Two bad decisions.
Caitlin, Beanie, welcome to Nerdette.
Thank you.
So for people who haven't seen it yet, let's do just sort of like a quick recap. Essentially, what happens is you two are these like super high achieving girls who love each other dearly. And you realize on the last day of school that like all the losers and jerks are also getting into just as good schools as you two, essentially. And so then you're like, we might as well have fun, too, then.
Yeah, I think they both are so goal oriented. And then my character, Molly, discovers that her sort of nemesis, she is also going to Yale, and it rattles her world because she thought that they had to choose one or the other.
Right.
She was like, those guys chose that. We're choosing school. And Molly and Amy know that they're fun. That's what we love about the film.
Yes,
they're
totally
not trying to learn how to be fun.
And they're not ashamed of being intelligent.
Right.
And smart.
They're not changing who they are to be
they
able
think
to
it's
go
amazing
to these parties.
At all. Yeah. They're just like, well, we know we're fun, so like we better show other people that we're fun too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think there's something really interesting about it in terms of, like, I've been thinking about this a lot, just even in my own career with work and the idea that, like, it's okay to be super dedicated to, like, the thing that is your thing and to work really hard at doing that. But it's also super important to have a holistic life that's like a bunch of other pieces so that you're not just doing school so that you can get the best grades and go to the best school. Because then what do you do with yourself?
It's all about balance, I think. And, like, I think what's great about Booksmart is that it kind of allows you to look at it from a bigger picture and think, well, these two girls worked so hard to get into these schools, and that is all that mattered to them before having this realization. So the idea that, like, you don't have to be defined by the school that you go to, I think there's so much pressure put on kids of, like, what college they get into, and it defines the rest of your life and who you are as a person, and it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't have to go to college, or you can go to college, but it really doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think there are so many important lessons to be had in this movie, but it's also just like legitimately super fun.
Yeah.
And I think partly what's so exciting about it is seeing girls, especially you two, just like be super smart and funny and gross and raunchy and like kind of filthy and like, you know, to just like embrace all of those different ideas of like what it means to be a teenage girl is just like so exciting to see on a big screen.
Yeah, we think so too. I mean, what the film does so brilliantly is it uses those judgments or expectations that you have of a character when you first meet them as an audience member.
Uh-huh.
And then it flips it on its head. Yep. So there's more than one person per type in this film.
Yeah.
So if there are two smart, intense girls, then what does a smart, intense girl look like? What does she sound like? What is she into?
Yes.
If there are two crazy rich kids, then that means that, what does that look like?
Yeah, they're going to be the same. Yeah.
Are they the same? There's two theater guys, but they're completely different human beings.
Totally.
So it's so brilliantly, like, just kind of bust the concept of stereotypes wide open.
Yeah, it's super cool to see that. Just because, yes, like, typically this kind of movie, of which there are many, right, when you think about just sort of, like, last day of school, let's go wild movies. I think about Superbad, which your brother Jonah Hill was in. I think about Can't Hardly Wait, which I feel like actually had a lot of resonance in Booksmart, or, like, Dazed and Confused. Mm-hmm. The thing that really stood out, I mean, there were a lot of things that stood out to me about Booksmart, but I think one of them was that in a lot of these movies, the party on the last day of school, it's like everything has to be perfect at the party because that's the whole point. And then everything is perfect and everybody wins and like, yay, end of movie, we all feel good about it. And I was so excited, without giving away like too much of what happens in Booksmart, what I really loved was that like the party didn't actually matter because it was about Amy and Molly's friendship. And that was what like actually was the whole point of the movie.
It was about going on this journey together. That's ultimately what it was about. I love how also like in some of those movies, it's all about like getting wasted and like getting drunk and like partying till you like can't, like you pass out. It just like, it wasn't ever that. It's also not a makeover movie.
Right.
They didn't make...
You didn't get contact lenses in the last scene and finally blow the mind of the guy you liked or whatever.
And we weren't going after a guy either, which is great.
It was very refreshing.
Yeah.
I think, too, like, I loved that this movie emphasizes the idea that your person doesn't have to be your, like, romantic soulmate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk a lot about, you know, I always think, like, your friends are the first decision you make in your life that's entirely yours. Your parents decide, like, what school you go to, where you go to school, where you live, what your room looks like, if you share a room. I mean, like, every single decision, what you're eating, what you're wearing, what after-school activities you're going to. But when you're young, like, you know, 3, 4, however old you are, you're making this choice of, like, this is my buddy, this is my partner. Yeah. And it's such a small thing when you're young, but then to continue choosing that person year after year after year and investing in them and committing to them and being willing to change alongside with them, I think is really profound. And I think Booksmart is such an examination and a celebration of that.
Yeah. I think there's also a sense of like codependency that they realize that they have,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the moment in the film where they call Malala and she says no.
Yes, and Malala, like, being sort of like the safe word, essentially.
Safe word
is, it was funny the way you phrased it because you made it sound like we just called up Malala.
Like, hey, Malala.
Oh, yeah, no,
Malala
was like, sorry, yeah, I didn't preface like, that. No.
And we were rejected by Malala.
No, Malala is the safe word. And then.
And it essentially means like, you have to do what I'm asking you because this is really important to me.
And you only get it like once a year.
Yeah.
And that's a really big moment. And then there's this moment where you think, oh, this person's going to obviously come with me because that's what we've been doing forever.
Because I called Malala.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of the sudden you realize, no, this other person wants, maybe doesn't want to do everything that you want to do all of the time. And that's also heartbreaking. Yeah. And that's what makes it sort of a breakup movie at the same time.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of it that way.
It is. It really is a love story and a breakup movie, too, because that fight between these two girls, you know, the whole movie you see them like they are inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the sudden it shifts and then it becomes very, very heartbreaking. And the fight also, it's, I mean, it was really just incredible because you get to this point where you're yelling at your friend and you don't know what you're saying at some point. You're just yelling to yell.
Well, and in the scene at first, like, it's at a loud party, and so it just seems like they're kind of yelling at each other, but it's all loud enough that nobody really notices, and it just becomes more and more centered on you two yelling and everyone else becoming totally silent watching this devastating fight. Oh, it's so intense even just thinking about it.
Yeah, and then I think at the end of the film, finding such a peace and a love and a setting each other free, you know, they're definitely going to remain best friends. I'm just making that very clear
And I think that's the thing, right, is that, like, there is a maturity of a relationship where you can realize that it's okay if you have different interests and you don't have to be together all the time, and you can still love the shit out of each other.
Or if you get into a fight, you work through it.
Yeah.
And it's not the end of the world.
Right.
But yes, they're going to for sure be friends.
Obviously. Totes.
Yeah. I love the topics that we bring up in this movie, too. I feel like for young girls, it'll be so important. We're even getting parents coming up to us saying, thank you for making this movie possible, because I am so happy that my daughters, my kids get to grow up on this movie and have this be their sleepover movie. It really is just so incredible. But, like, the conversations we have are, like, real conversations that I have with my friends talking about masturbation, and, like, it's so great.
Yeah. I think also when it's done through humor, it's like a spoonful of sugar. You know what I mean? It's like
It's
the best way to start, like, hard or weird conversations or to give a clear message to a film is to do it by making you so invested and having so much fun that it's not like we're beating you over the head. Like, this is a sex positive feminist movie about
get
friendship.
Over it,
stop
assholes.
Judging people. Yeah. It's like you're having the best time, and all of a sudden you're really thinking about stuff along the way, and you're really, you know, taking stock.
It's a bacon-wrapped Brussels sprout.
Oh, what a wonderful way to put it. Wow.
You can use that. Take it.
That's great. I eat bacon, so I'll take it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I guess maybe it's not as universal as I had hoped in that respect.
Okay. It's all right.
After the break, Beanie Feldstein does one of the most amazing things that has ever happened to me in an interview setting.
I got to work with another amazing Greta Gerwig on Lady Bird.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just put me in the same sentence like that.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Two queens.
I just can't even. You're listening to Nerdette. You two are both still pretty early on in your careers.
Caitlin's been acting since she was 11.
Yeah.
So I guess what I should say is that you two are both pretty young, so, right? You're both in your early 20s, right?
Early mid-20s.
That's fine.
It's very kind.
I will be 34 in 3 weeks if it makes y'all feel any better. It's all good. But the question I have is, like, I mean, you know, you're exhausted talking about how amazing this was to work on this. Does that worry you for what's next? Like, because, like, every project can't be book smart, right? Or are you just really optimistic that you're just going to, like, keep finding amazing things and this is just the beginning of all of the goodness that is going to come to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're both really, really inherently positive people.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
But I very, very, I'm very new. I consider myself so new. And very early in my working life, I got to work with another amazing Greta Gerwig on Lady Bird.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just put me in the same sentence like that.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Two queens. And I think what Lady Bird taught me was that you're allowed to set your expectations high. Even when you're young and when you're new, you can value. I mean, I was so moved by the fact that I was a part of a story that I would have wanted to watch had I not seen it. And so when I finished Lady Bird, I was like, what film do I want to do next, or do I want to beg to be a part of next, is really how I see it. And Booksmart was the next film that I did, and it was like I could not even dream of a better follow-up to it. But also, it's because I set those expectations. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I think it's just really – it comes down to doing projects that you're really passionate about.
Yeah. And playing girls that you want to inhabit.
So you two have each sort of hinted at your origin stories when it comes to how you ended up here.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin, you've been acting since you were 10?
Yes. I grew up in Texas, and I started doing acting classes when I was 9 after begging my parents.
I was just about to ask how your parents felt about that.
Yeah, my parents are the greatest people alive, and they never pushed me. They never pushed me to do anything, but they really believed in me when I said, "Guys, this is in my core. This is in my blood, and I can't imagine myself doing anything else." And they're like, "Okay, well, let's go to acting classes. Let's take you to acting classes All right, and see buddy. How it goes." And that I was at the acting classes in Dallas for about 6 months, and then an agent she approached me and she wanted me to come out to LA for a pilot season, and my parents thought, "Oh boy, well." That's also a little crazy because you can't. That's a crazy thing for a kid to like just pack up and go audition for films and commercials. It just is so
like,
foreign.
That's a big risk even for like a 20-something person to do.
Totally.
It's like move across the country to try to figure out this totally like maybe great, but maybe like who knows what the outcome of this is going to be.
But the great thing about it was that I was always grounded and I was always realistic because of. How my parents sort of acted about the whole thing. They said, you know, "We really believe in you and this is awesome that you want to do this, but there is a chance that you will not book the first thing you go out on and you probably won't and it's going to be really tough." And then my first audition came around and I booked the first thing I went out on. So I was like, "Ha ha." But then there were like a lot of no's after that. So I was denied. But it was I was just doing commercials for a while and then booked my first movie when I was 11.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah.
So have you been able to do sort of like a traditional high school thing then? Were you able to?
Yeah, I think, well, it was kind of, I did like an in-between high school experience. I do feel like my high school experience was very normal still. I just wasn't going, I wasn't physically going like 5 days a week. I was going like 3 days
a
week.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
Just because I was working.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just, I'm good. Just because I was working on a show at the time. And it's kind of hard to balance that. And I knew that I wanted to act. So I had to kind of like compromise.
That's also such a miracle that you knew that early that it was what you wanted to do.
I know. You know, I don't really know why I knew so quickly. I think I've always been an observer and I've always... like my mom says I used to stare at people and I've been staring at people since I was like a baby and I said, "Well, why didn't you stop me? I need to like stop that habit." And she was like, "No, I knew you were doing it for a reason."
Wow.
And I've always felt like I love mimicking people and I love like shifting into, I can't be myself for more than a day. So this is a good profession for me.
What about you, Beanie? What's your story?
Oh, my story, Greta.
Tell us your story.
My story. I grew up in Los Angeles, and when I was like four, my mom was taking me to this like ballet class that was in this sort of collection of kids. Arts classes. And I was like, "I want to do the theater." And she was like, "Okay." So I moved and I started doing the theater and I became obsessed with it. And from the age of five, I was doing like four musicals a year.
Oh my gosh.
Until I was 22, like literally from five to 22. So I did kids theater and then I found this incredible community theater in Santa Monica called the Morgan Wixon Theater. And the director there, she works as like in a legal office during the day and theater is just her passion. But she taught me everything I know. But when I was deciding where to go to college, I knew that I didn't want to do a BFA program because I felt like I'd gone to theater camp during the summers and I did so many shows that I think there's always more to learn. I always think that. But I felt like my academic side hadn't sort of blossomed yet. So I went to Wesleyan University in Connecticut, but for sociology was my major. But I continued to do student theater at Wesleyan, but always knowing that I wanted to do this professionally. But Broadway was always my goal, not film.
Is Wesleyan also where Lin-Manuel Miranda went?
Yes. Embarrassing
yes, we
that I quoted another alum. oh, God, that's so embarrassing. He was actually the commencement speaker at my graduation,
oh,
which is
awesome.
Pretty cool.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
So you were thinking Broadway, not movies.
Oh, 1,000. I mean, I couldn't have even dreamed dreamt of being in a film or a television show. For me, it was all about theater.
Do you think that was partly because your brother was doing the movie stuff?
No. When I was 5 was when I started doing theater, and Jonah was 15. And
wow, that's a big spread.
Yeah, we're 9.5 years apart. But he didn't do his first film till he was like 19 or 20.
Okay.
So I had already been like obsessed with theater, could quote Sondheim at 8 years old. probably even 7.
That's funny, because I think often with siblings, it's sort of like, okay, you have your world, no, I'll take mine.
We're so far apart in age, yeah, but like we never really had a competitive vibe. Joan always says he didn't know I was a person until I was 15. He was just sort of like, that's a blob.
Adorable big brother thing to say.
But then he was like, then you turned 15 and you became so like human and cool. And I was like, I had been there the whole time.
I've always been like that, man. But you just didn't know.
Yeah, when I was in high school, we became like very, very, very close. But at that point, by the time he was doing films, I was already like a kid theater obsessive. So it wasn't like I would ever not do it because he did it or vice versa. Was just genuinely he's a cinephile and I'm a musical theater person. That's just like, yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. But now you're taking on his ground a little.
A little bit. I had the privilege of doing Hello Dolly on Broadway for a year, which literally made all my dreams come true.
Oh,
like, I would think about when I remember during opening night, which was 2 years ago this weekend, I just was like my 5-year-old self would not believe that this was happening. So doing Hello Dolly was so meaningful to me.
I am so excited to watch both of your careers from here. I'm just thrilled about both of you. So there.
Thank you so much.
I have one last question for you. It's a quickie.
Great. I never want this to end. This is so fun.
I know.
Oh, thanks. That's real sweet. Which Hogwarts house would you be in?
Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
I'm also Ravenclaw.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good nerds.
Good nerds. Thank you for that question. It
That's
really means
hilarious.
A lot.
That's hilarious. I have a Harry Potter tattoo. I'm all about it.
What? Oh, my God. What is God. It?
What is Deathly Hallows.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's
so
good.
Cool.
Guys. Well.
I wish you had just lifted up your bangs.
Next one. Next time I'll get it on the forehead. That's a really good idea. Oh my gosh, Caitlin, Beanie, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Oh my God, two of the coolest gals ever. I have to say, I am very excited about a project that Beanie has coming up. It's a little movie you may have heard of called How to Build a Girl, which is based off of a novel that Catlin Moran wrote. If you don't know who Catlin Moran is, that's totally okay, but also kind of an emergency. Go listen to the interview she did on her net several years ago. And then read How to Build a Girl because it's awesome. And this movie is guaranteed to be great because Beanie is super cool. And this movie also stars a bunch of other really great people, including Alfie Allen, also known as Theon Greyjoy, and Emma Thompson. So there. The show is produced by me, Greta Johnson, along with Justin Bull. Our co-creator is Trisha Bobita, and our executive producer is Brendan Banasak. Nerdette is supported in part by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, enhancing public understanding of science and technology in the modern world. We have literally hundreds of other episodes of Nerdette that are out in the world. I bet you would really like the one with Catlin Moran. You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We have a newsletter. It's pretty fun. I like to put inside of it a thing to read, a thing to eat, and a thing to watch. Often there is corgi news. There are all kinds of weird things in it usually. You can get it when you go to our Facebook page and click on the blue little sign up button. Our theme music is by Poddington Bear. Do your homework!